Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We're back with Dr. Tamsin Astor, author of The Force of Habit, and she is a yoga teacher, a coaching trainer, and she's helping us today learn and identify healthy habits. So how do we come about identifying and realizing that we do need new habits? You know, like most of us have the basic habits, you know, brush your teeth, comb your hair, have your shower and get going. How do we know when we need bigger habits to move?
So, I mean, one of the things that happens with my clients is sometimes people come to me with, they've had a significant crisis. So they've, been diagnosed as pre-diabetic. So it's a shake-up to shift, their exercise and what they're eating. Or it's a relationship, crisis that they're struggling to connect with somebody. So that's sometimes an issue that comes up. Other times it's a malaise around, is this really all there is? Is this really all that my life has to offer? So sometimes habits, it's very clear, you've got a health risk, you've got an issue, you develop pre-arthritis, osteoporosis, or something like that. Or it's just a sort of generalized, like, there must be more to life. How can I make some changes?
So they're seriously looking for change and opportunities to change.
Well, you need to have a little bit of an edge there. Otherwise, people won't commit to changing their habits. That's what I've found in working with clients for the last 5 years. If people come to me with I kind of feel like it would be a useful thing to learn, then there isn't a real issue. I'm not going to get a lot of traction there because they are not going to do the work. They're not going to do the meditation, the journaling, the thinking, the looking at their current schedule and figuring out how to change it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So people come because of a painful situation in their lives and they need change.
Yeah, yeah.
So the pain is a good motivator and it is an opportunity for change.
Absolutely.
So where do you start in all this when they first come in?
So one of the first things that I do is I sort of do an Excel spreadsheet of what people's days look like. When do they rise? When do they eat? When do they sleep? When do they have to be at work, pick up their kids? What are all the immovable points in their day? And then we look at where there are gaps, where people are being efficient or inefficient. I call it their daily habit audit. So we look at where there are gaps, where there are inefficiencies, and then we start at that microscopic level of looking at what's a habit that we could change that would make the most change in their life. Is it creating a regular sleep schedule? Is it creating a regular exercise schedule? Is it making a shift around their food?
And all these are very, very, very important to balancing mood and stability and balancing hormones. So this is a lot of times in place of going on medication?
That's the goal. I mean, the goal with this is if you start by creating these healthy habits and you still have issues, then we take the next step, right? But the model of Ayurveda is let's start with the context of your life.
Right.
And look at when you're eating, when you're sleeping, how you're living every day. And if that's very dysregulated, of course you're going to feel dysregulated. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be depressed. You're going to, have digestion that's not efficient. You're going to not sleep well, right? So the idea is that you start with that and then you look, rather than start with suppressing the symptoms and then, adding that. Because, we know from the research that once you start on one medication, the likelihood that you then need a second medication due to side effects from the first, ramps up. And then you just end up in a situation where you're living it from prescription drug to prescription drug.
Right. So in order to alleviate the need for those, what does meditation actually do from a cognitive neuroscience point of view?
Meditation is fascinating. So meditation has a whole number of benefits, and I've got a huge, great section in my book on it. It has both physical and mental benefits. So some of the mental benefits are that it teaches you to let go, because when you are meditating, you are sitting with your breath, you are sitting with your thoughts, and when they pop up, your job is to let them go and come back to the breath. So it teaches you to let go, which is a really good feature, particularly if you suffer from anxiety. Another thing that's really important is that it teaches you to pause before you react. So, you know, because it requires you to constantly pull back, that helps you in situations that trigger you and make you more likely to be reactive and angry. It also teaches you about your own mind, because when you sit still with your own mind, you start to see, am I somebody that constantly lives in the past? I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't done that. Or are you somebody that goes, when I lose 10 pounds, my life is going to be perfect. When I get that perfect boyfriend, everything's going to change, right? We also know that meditation changes your brain in the long term. You know, there's a meditation called loving kindness meditation. And when you look at that, what we see is that there's a shift in the area of the brain that's associated with compassion, and that area of the brain grows when you cultivate that meditation over long changes, over long periods. And it also improves your ability to be kind to yourself. There's a, you know, self-compassion ratings improve when you meditate, because you work on this idea of letting go, which is associated with self-forgiveness and self-compassion. It also makes you happier. And then it also got some really fascinating physical side effects. The one that I think is most personally most exciting is that it improves your immune function, because meditation changes your DNA. At the end of every chromosome is a thing called a telomere, which as you age and as you get sick, they shorten. But when people meditate, the telomerase activity, which is the protein that adds the telomeres, grows, which is just mind-blowing. It also reduces blood pressure, which, you know, is implicated in heart disease and kidney disease and dementia, and it reduces cortisol levels. I mean, it's extraordinary. I love when the West backs up what we've been saying for, you know, thousands of years in the East, which is meditate. It does you good.
Right. Without using names, can you tell us about some of the success stories of people you've coached? Any stand out for you?
I had one female client who came to me and was just really unhappy with, you know, trying to navigate a very, you know, she's a very busy, successful executive, and she was struggling with trying to make time for her kids and her husband, and just she'd done what a lot of my female clients had done, which is put the needs of everybody else before her own, and had sort of forgotten how to prioritize herself. And a lot of that was directed towards self-hatred, you know, negative self-talk and overeating and, you know, I look fat in that dress and all of that kind of stuff that us women are, you know, fall into that trap. And, you know, one of the things that she said to me at the end of our time coaching together was, I just like myself a whole lot more. I've never liked myself as much as I do now, which to me was just such a huge shift in who she was and how she showed up in her life. I had another client who was really struggling to figure out how to create the boundaries around working at home and being a housewife. And, you know, she'd go and make a coffee, and then she'd get dragged into, you know, doing laundry and unloading the dishwasher and taking care of the dog and doing all the home stuff. And so we worked a lot around creating the energetic and time spaces around this is work and this is home, and these are the times of day when I am, you know, doing stuff for my business, and these are times of day when I'm not. And, you know, we had huge success, and she doubled her business, had doubled her income. So those are a couple of the, you know, positive stories I've had with clients.
That's wonderful. Do you find you have more women working on their lives than men?
Yep, I think a majority of my clients are women, because I think partly women tend to seek this work out more. You know, it's I think it's sort of more socially acceptable, particularly where I am in the Midwest. I mean, my clients are not all Midwest-based. A lot of them are on the East Coast. But I think there's definitely, an association of women seeking out the self-help more than men, you know. But I have had a number of male clients over the years. And they tend to be men who I've come into contact with or we've met through the yoga community or the meditation community. So they are kind of more open to those Eastern ideas around thinking about energy and how you engage.
Wow. So if you're, does your whole community start to change then? Like, it sounds like a lot of people are from the Ayurvedic community, yoga community, meditation, or do you have people starting just from regular lives with no spiritual interests or no strong habits?
Yes, I mean, what's interesting, my last two clients that I started working with are millennials. And for the last 5 years, most of my clients have been in the sort of 35 to 55 range, more when the things have started to go wrong. And my two most recent clients are in graduate school right now, and they are finding life difficult now and want to get married and have kids and are aware that life is going to get more stressful, and they're feeling that stress now. And so they reached out to me, and they are not in those worlds that I, you know, they're not in those Ayurvedic or meditation worlds. And I'm really enjoying working with them, and they're not clients that I would have thought to seek out. But I think, you know, what's interesting about the millennial generation is there is this recognition that, you know, there's a lot of different ways of thinking about things, and reaching out for support in a variety of different communities is more accepted, rather than like, I'm just going to push on through, you know, and figure out how to handle it on my own.
Yeah. Well, you've got so many good things in your book, The Force of Habit, Unleashing Your Power Through Healthy Habits. So I want to thank you for being on our radio show today. And could you just tell us if there's any where we could get the book, or if you have a web pages to follow up with this?
Sure. So you can find my book, Force of Habit, on Amazon. And you can follow me, Tamsin Astor, on my Instagram account and my website. And there are links to buy my book on my Instagram and on my website, too.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. And we're going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have our second guest.